Welcome to Serotalk Tech Chat number 14. This is Michael Loff. And this is a slightly different presentation because what we're doing is we want to show you a real-world scenario for the power and flexibility of Serotech's remote access solutions. In particular, this is a part of SAMNet. So among many other features you can have for $14.95 a month or $129 per year, you can remote into or have a fellow SAMNet user remote into your computer to either assist you with training, learning to use and get the most out of your computer, or technical support to help resolve problems you may be having. To put it to the test, I'm going to allow Mr. Mike Arrigo from St. Louis to remote into one of my copies of Microsoft Windows XP, and I'm going to let him have basically free reign, although I can stop him if I need to, but essentially, he is going to optimize my copy of Windows XP by going through all of the settings or the main settings in the control panel and my computer to get maximum speed and performance. Now, with that said, if you follow some or all of these suggestions, please remember these are the suggestions of Mike Arrigo and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of Serotalk and Serotech. And the reason I say that is because if you are not careful and do not follow them correctly, you could cause adverse damage, including making your computer not being able to boot into Windows. But more likely, you may alter the visual settings to a point to annoy someone who not only is either partially sighted or maybe is totally sighted. So there are some settings that have to do with screen display that if you share your computer with someone who can see, you need to think twice about. So I just want you to be mindful of that. Again, these are preferences. They're not absolutes. That's the whole power, is to show you the many features and configuration settings in Windows XP and to explain them to you. So with that said, we hope you will maybe get a tip or two about how you can customize your computer to make it more user-friendly for yourself. Equally important, to get a real-world, real-time feel for the power and functionality of Serotech's remote access solutions.
We're going to demonstrate the benefits of remote access, and this is really a cool feature because what this actually allows you to do is to connect to someone else's computer with their permission, of course, and control their computer as if you were sitting in front of it. You might be in one of two situations. You might be in a situation where you want to fix someone's computer or you want to show them a new program. And I've done this. It's part of what I do for a living with tech support. And it's painstaking to tell people, okay, you know, press this key or arrow up and down or, you know, what keys to press. It's painstaking. Or, you know, you might be in a situation where you're on the opposite end, where you've got the computer and you don't want to go through all the keystrokes. You'd rather just have somebody fix it for you or, you know, tweak it or whatever the case might be. Well, the remote access is a great way to do that. Now, of course, Windows XP has a feature similar to that built in. It's called Remote Desktop, and some of the screen readers do work with it, but it's difficult to set up, to say the least. What we're going to demonstrate is for two, you know, Serotech members. Now, of course, there is a feature or a service available called, well, actually, there's two, Remote Incident Manager and Remote Access Manager, and those are both ways that you can control computers of those who may not be. Now, what I'm going to do is press Modifier F. I'm going to use the Insert key here. Of course, you can use Caps Lock. I'm going to do a Insert F.
System Access Menu. Connect to the System Access Mobile Network.
I'm already connected, so we don't have to do that. Although, actually, if you are logged in, you don't have to have the SA Mobile browser open for this to work. So that's just a side note. Okay, so I'm going to arrow down.
Preferences. Remote control another computer.
Remote control another computer. That's what we want. So let's go ahead and press enter.
And remote control another user's computer. Username or account number. Editable text.
Okay. Blank. What this is asking you is the username or account number. You can type in the username. That would be the part of the username before the @ and the samobile.net. So I'm just going to type in. Now we've got a couple of other options here that I'll show you before we actually connect.
Checkbox. Not checked. Disable visual output for this session.
Okay, disable visual output for this session. What that does is you can determine whether the visual display is actually shown on your display. So if it's two blind people connecting, then you probably want to go ahead and just check this and disable the visual output because it'll save bandwidth and there's really no benefit to having the visual output if neither one of you can see it. However, if you know, you do have somebody sighted and you want to do the visual output, then you may want to keep that. We'll go ahead and check that here.
Checkbox. Not checked, checked.
Let's go ahead and continue. You can also tab through this also, of course. I'll go ahead and use the arrow keys so we get any intervening text along the way.
Start a voice conversation.
Okay, start a voice conversation. If you want to converse with the person whom you're connecting to, which is often is a very good thing to do, especially if you're fixing their computer or doing any kind of training, that's a good thing to have. And you don't have to use Skype. The system access provides a way to chat with the person you're connecting to. And if you want to do that, go ahead and just check this option. We actually connected using the Socializer, so there's no need to do that in this case, but it's certainly available. So I'm going to leave that unchecked.
Voice conversation audio quality.
Voice conversation audio quality. You've got a couple of choices here, which I'll show you. It's a drop list.
Drop-down list. Broadband.
Okay, so we can press Alt down arrow to open that.
List opened. Broadband.
Got broadband.
High-end broadband.
High-end broadband.
Three. Broadband.
And broadband.
Dial-up or low bandwidth wireless.
And dial-up or low bandwidth wireless. I'll go ahead and just escape out of here because we're not even going to use this way to connect to the chat.
Button. Request remote control.
So we got request remote control and
end of page.
Cancel, and that's the end of it. So, of course, I'm going to select request.
Button. Cancel. Button. Request remote control.
There we go. And just press space on that. And what it'll do is it'll send him a request saying that I want to connect to his computer, and he can press Control-Shift-Y to accept it, and Control-Shift-N not to accept it.
Since using his computer, please select the computer you want to access. List.
So he's got more than one computer. Let's take a look at our choices here.
Russian AN624 primary, 103, radio, Michael HBD6967.
All right, Mike, which one is it?
Number three, sir.
Number three, sir.
Number three it is. We got that selected. Let's just hit the tab key.
Continue. Button.
And we got a continue.
Cancel.
Or a cancel. So I want to continue. Just shift tab back to that and press space.
Continue. Button.
And here we go.
Mike Arrigo wishes to remotely control your computer. Press Control Shift Y to accept this request or Control Shift N to reject it. You have accepted Mike Arrigo's request to remotely control your computer.
And he is
and
in
your request.
The user has connected to your computer.
And I'm going to go ahead and move the microphone a little bit farther away now because what will happen is the recording will pick up his speech. And we don't want that to echo. So what's happened now is I'm connected to his computer, and it's as if I'm sitting
now, this is when I get scared if he says, I'm in control. And
your computer is now under my spell, and it will do my bidding.
Just don't add it to a botnet, and we'll be just fine, sir.
You know, me saying that is, you know, just having fun. But you definitely, you know, only allow someone to connect to your computer whom you trust, because once they do this, you know, certainly they have access and they could, you know, do things that are potentially harmful. So certainly, you know, any kind of remote thing, you know, only allow someone you trust to connect to your machine.
I use the analogy of, comparing this to a front door. You know, I just basically unlocked my front door and allowed Mike into my home, and you need to think of your computer in the same way. Would you let just anyone in your home?
Definitely. And should you find that you want to disconnect the person, you can also hit modifier shift escape to bring up the menu, and you can close the session. You can disconnect the person should you find that you don't like what they're doing. But again, the real key here is only let people connect that you trust.
The only other cool thing to mention is that if you're working on mine and something happens where you need to do something on your computer real quick, you can hit that modifier shift escape and minimize the session, do what you need to on your computer, and then alt tab back into the window. And then go back to work.
You can, and that's going to come in handy. So Windows tweaking. This is just kind of a combination of tidbits and things that that I've learned over the years that you can change in Windows. You don't have to do all of these. Certainly, if you're comfortable with the way a certain thing works, then you can keep it that way. These are by no means absolutely required, but they will make your system run faster, smoother, and in a lot of cases, make things easier to work with. And again, you'll hear his speech, you know, recording it, because when you're remotely connected to another computer, you do hear all the speech, so you can tell what the person connected to you is doing.
Likewise, just so people know, when you connect to your own computer, there is no speech under the assumption that there's no one there to hear it.
I am going to go to his desktop here. Now, again, you use the same keystrokes. It's just as if you're sitting in front of the computer. Now, there is a slight delay, of course, because it's going over the internet. I'm just going to press Windows key and M here.
Desktop. List. Mobile.
Okay. All right, 15, then. 25. Let me just see what he has open here. I'm just going to Alt-Tab and see what we've got here.
SA Mobile Desktop.
SA Mobile Desktop.
What Socializer?
Socializer. Which one? Close your Socializer window for now, if that's all right.
SA Mobile Desktop.
Okay.
Voice conversation.
Voice conversation, we definitely want to keep that open. We're using system access at the moment, but it is compatible also if the other person is running JAWS or WindowEyes, this remote feature will work with that also, and it will actually stream the sound. If you can, use System Access for both of them. The best way I find to use Windows is use the classic start menu rather than the Windows XP one. Check out some settings for relating to the taskbar and the start menu. So we're sitting on the desktop. Let's just hit the tab key one time, and that'll take us to the start button.
Start button.
Let's go ahead and press the Windows key. We can also do Shift F10.
Start menu. Open.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, explore all users. Open all users. Properties.
It said start menu. Usually it was like context menu. In that case, that's kind of interesting. Usually it says start menu, and the start menu actually opens. But so we want to go to properties. That's our destination, which we're sitting on now. So let's go ahead and press enter.
Start menu properties. Start menu tab.
It took us to the start menu tab first because I right clicked on that. But let's actually go to the taskbar tab first. So I'm just going to shift tab here.
Start menu tab.
And let's left arrow.
Taskbar tab.
Now there's some settings in here we can tweak. Let's hit the tab key.
Taskbar appearance. Log the taskbar. Shake likes.
Lock the taskbar. That's probably a good thing to keep enabled because it'll keep you from accidentally dragging it to places where you may not want it. Usually the taskbar defaults to being on the bottom of your screen, and that's usually a good place to keep it.
Auto hide the taskbar. Shake likes. Shake. Keep the taskbar on top of the window.
Okay.
Not shake.
Okay. Looks like Mike's already done some tweaking here. Keep the taskbar on top of other windows. You want to uncheck that if it's checked, because what that does, it causes the taskbar to appear on top of anything else. So if you've got a maximized window and you have that checked, the taskbar may cover up the bottom of your window and cover up so you won't be able to read the text at the bottom of your window. So you definitely want to uncheck that. Keep the taskbar on top of other windows. That should be unchecked.
Group similar taskbar buttons. Shake likes. Shake.
Group similar taskbar buttons. I've kind of experimented with that a little bit. Usually you may want to uncheck that because what this does, it puts, like let's say you've got several Internet Explorer windows open. It puts them all into one kind of button, and then when you select that, it kind of expands it, and then you see all of the windows within that. So I'm going to go ahead and uncheck this.
Uncheck.
And what that does is it does cause each window or each application to show up as a separate button on the taskbar. Okay, let's tab again.
Show quick launch. Shake likes. Not shake.
Okay, show quick launch. Yeah, I think it's checked by default. That's a personal preference. I don't use the quick launch either. It's an extra thing to tab through. Okay, let's keep going.
There you go. Show the clock. Shake likes.
Okay, show the clock. This is a personal preference. If you want to have the clock in your system tray, you can arrow to it and read it. I think JAWS actually depends on that being there to read the time, but I can tell you for a fact that System Access and WindowEyes don't. Okay, next comes a big one.
Hide inactive icons. Shake likes. Not shaped.
Okay, yeah, Mike's already done some tweaking with this. Hide inactive icons. This is definitely something you want to uncheck. Your icons in the system tray, like maybe your Messenger or your virus program, your firewall might put themselves down there. What Windows does is icons that you haven't used for a while, it hides them. And then you have to basically arrow to an option. I think it says like to show all the icons and select that to see them. So what this does by unchecking this is telling Windows, I don't care how long it's been since I've used an icon, show me all of them, regardless. And that's the way a blind person would definitely want it. So you can just arrow left and right. You don't have to worry about anything hidden. So that's definitely one you want to uncheck. Okay, let's tab again.
Okay button.
All right. Okay, we got okay and cancel.
Cancel button. Apply button. Taskbar tab.
Let's go to the start menu tab now with the right arrow key.
Start menu tab.
It says start menu tab. Let's tab here.
Classic start menu.
Mike's already changed this.
Select this option to the menu tab from earlier versions of Windows.
And this is one thing I love about System Access. It reads those little tidbits, like it just said, to make it do like older versions of Windows. A lot of screen readers don't read you that extra stuff. They just tell you, the focus control, and that's it. That's one thing that System Access does that I think is a great feature. I love that. Windows XP comes by default with the XP start menu, where you have to go to all programs, and your My Computer window and everything is in the start menu itself. I prefer to use the classic start menu. It does a couple of things. Number one, it keeps it like what you're used to with older versions of Windows. Plus, what it does is it moves the My Computer and my documents and that kind of thing. It moves those icons to the desktop. But there's even some things we can do to tweak the start menu a little bit. So let's hit the tab key again here.
Customize button.
Customize is where we want to go. Let's go ahead and select that.
Customize classic start menu.
Hit the space bar.
You can customize your start menu by adding or removing items. Start menu.
Says you can customize your start menu by adding or removing items. What we want to do is tab here.
Remove button.
To
advanced button. Alt E.
The
sort button. Alt S.
Okay, sort. This is a good thing to do because what this does is it puts everything in order on the start menu. First, it puts all the program groups in alphabetical order. Then what it does is it puts all of the separate applications like the Windows Media Player and that type of thing. It puts those all at the bottom of the start menu, again, in alphabetical order. So let's go ahead and hit the space on that. And and it doesn't say much, but it does sort it for you. Okay, let's tab again.
Clear button. Alt Z.
Clear, what that does is it deletes all of the items in your recent documents. When you go to documents, you know, that list of recent things, it clears that out of there.
Advanced start menu options. Three.
Okay, display. Advanced start menu options. That's what we are interested in. Let's go ahead and arrow down here.
Display favorites off. Shape likes.
Display favorites, that's a personal preference.
Display run on.
Display run, that's a good one to keep in there.
11 of 12. Display run on.
Let's see.
Shift.
Yeah, you got that checked. You can also hit the Windows R key, of course, to get to that.
Enable dragging and dropping on.
Enable dragging and dropping. Even if you can't use a mouse, it's good to go ahead and keep that enabled, because what you can do, like in the start menu, if you want to put an icon on your desktop, you can just do a Shift F10 on the start menu item and do a send to and choose to send it to the desktop. So it's probably a good idea to keep that checked, because it does have some benefit for blind users. Okay.
Expand control panel.
Expand control panel.
Not checked.
That's not checked.
And
it'll show the control panel, and that's okay, because if that's checked, though, it'll show all the control panel items, I think, which can kind of clutter your start menu, so you probably want to leave that unchecked.
Expand my documents.
Expand my documents. Again, that's all personal preference stuff. If you want to see all that on your start menu,
expand
you can.
My pictures off.
Expand my pictures.
Expand network connections off.
Expand network connections
off. Shape likes.
Okay.
Expand printers off.
Shape likes.
Scroll programs off. Shape likes.
Scroll programs. This is an interesting one. What this does is it controls whether the start menu appears in multiple columns, or if you check this option, it puts it in a long list.
Show small icons in start menu off.
Show small icons. Makes the icons that it actually shows smaller. For a blind user, the icons really don't do much benefit and takes less space on the screen for other things. So we'll go ahead and check it.
Use personalized menus on. Shape likes. Checked.
Okay, this is definitely when we want to get rid of use personalized menus. What this does is start menu items that you haven't used recently, it hides them, and we definitely want to uncheck that. You don't want the computer making those decisions for you. Put that kind of thing in the hands of the end user where it should be. Let's go ahead and tab to OK.
To remove records of recently accessed documents, programs, and websites, click OK button.
Hit OK there.
Start menu
okay.
Properties.
And we'll have to hit OK
start
one more time
OK button.
To close out of that window.
SA Mobile Desktop.
All right, now let's
desktop.
Kind of reaped the fruits of our labor so far, at least, if we open his start menu.
Start menu. Update.
Okay, update. We've got...
One recover.
One,
two directory. Three MP3 tag. Four PDF, two TXT.
Four PDF, you got these...
Oh, God. Call Broom. Easy.
Easy CD, yeah. See, I'm retentive. I put things numerically and alphabetically in order. Shortcuts of things that I use, so my start menu is not going to be like something that you will see.
There's the first thing, programs. If we go in there...
Accessories submenu, Edge app submenu, Games submenu.
You see, everything's in a nice alphabetical list. All the folders are up at the top, and then if we arrow past that,
we have Communicator submenu, Video Reader submenu,
right? Okay.
Studio Recorder submenu, Sony submenu, Radio Show submenu.
Everything in a nice alphabetical list.
QuickTime Alternative submenu, PDF to TXT submenu.
That's and no more hiding any of the inactive stuff. It shows it all there. Let's go pay a visit to the control panel. This is a big one. So to do that, let's go in back into the start menu again.
Start menu update. Settings submenu. Control
go
panel.
To settings. That's what we want.
Control panel.
He's only got one option with S in it, so when I hit the letter S, it just opened right up. I'm just going to hit enter on control panel.
Menu closed. Control panel. List. Accessibility options. Comments. Adjust your computer settings for vision, hearing, and mobility.
First things first. Let's go ahead and maximize the window if it isn't already. Generally, you want to maximize all of your windows because that allows more text to fit on the screen and it prevents text from cutting off. So let's hit alt space.
System. Menu opened.
And I don't know if it's already maximized, but I'm just going to hit the letter X.
Menu closed.
And if it wasn't maximized, it is now. One thing that I like to do, and again, this is a personal preference, but it definitely frees your screen of clutter, is get rid of the toolbars. Because the toolbars, usually you cannot really get to them unless you use the mouse or a screen reader's keyboard commands, and usually you can do everything with a keyboard. Sometimes the toolbars will actually draw the focus away from what you're working on. So let's just hit Alt-V here.
Menu opened. Toolbars up menu.
Goes to toolbars. Let's hit the right arrow.
Checked.
Standard buttons, let's get rid of that. Just hit enter. That's like the back, forward, and stuff. And of course, there's keyboard commands for all that stuff. So there's really
address
bar. Let's get rid of that also. One less thing to tab through.
Menu open. Address bar. Links. L.
Okay, links. That's what we checked.
Check.
Lock the toolbars. Let's see if status bar is already disabled.
Explorer bar submenu.
Let me just check the explorer bars.
Tip of the day.
Make this thing less cluttered as we can.
Favorites. Control I. Search.
Okay. Now, as far as the view type, I would say you want to go with either list or detail will provide you some extra speech if you want that, like a description and that type of thing. List will just usually give you the item, but you definitely want to go with your list or detail. Puts everything in a nice alphabetical list. And it sounds like he may have already done that. Let me just check.
Explorer bar subtitles. Icon. List. Details. Checked. Menu closed. Accessibility options. Comments.
Okay, accessibility options. That's what we want to go into first. There's a couple of things in here that we can change that'll make things a little easier.
Accessibility options. Use sticky keys if you want to. Shift, Control, Alt, or Windows logo keyboard.
Sticky keys. It's not checked by default, but...
Use sticky keys. Check box. Not checked.
If we go to settings, if we tap one time...
Settings for sticky keys. The shortcut for sticky keys is press the Shift key 5 times. Keyboard shortcut. Use shortcut. Check box. Checked.
We want to uncheck. Use keyboard shortcut. With that being checked, it's still... will make the keys stick if you press it.
Right, if you accidentally hold down the shift for too long, it'll activate it, so it's nice to get rid of that.
Unchecked.
This will take care of that.
Use shortcut.
Okay.
Checkbox, not checked. Options. Press modifier key twice to lock. Checkbox, checked.
Press modifier twice to lock. We probably don't want to do that either, so unchecked. Let's uncheck that.
Turn sticky keys off if two keys are pressed once. Checkbox, checked.
That's fine. Doesn't really matter much, actually, because this won't, it won't get turned on in the first place now, so.
Notification. Make sounds when modifier key is pressed. Checkbox, checked.
Make sound when modifiers press. That's a personal preference.
Show sticky key status on screen.
Show sticky key status on screen. Eh, we can probably uncheck that as well, since, again, we've disabled it pretty much.
Okay, button.
So, in other words, if you really don't want sticky keys, you should probably uncheck everything in here.
Yes.
Keyboard tab.
Okay, the next one is filter keys.
Filter keys. Use filter keys. Checkbox.
And, again, we want to go to settings here. Now, you got to be careful in here, because there's a place where you can tab to where it'll have you test the keyboard, and if you get into that, it's a little hard to get out of.
Settings for filter keys.
So we only want to go to the first couple of options.
Keyboard shortcut, use shortcut, checkbox, checked.
Use shortcut, again, we want to uncheck that.
Unchecked.
Now let's tap one more time.
Filter options, ignore quick keystrokes and slow them to repeat rate. Radio button, selected.
And that doesn't really matter because the shortcut's been disabled. Now if we tab again is where we'll get to the keyboard test, which we don't want to do. So let's just shift tab back to OK and to get out of this little window.
OK button.
Actually,
notification.
Let's...
show filter key status on screen. Checkbox, checked.
Let's go ahead and uncheck that, actually. OK, now let's go to OK.
OK button.
There we go. All right, the next one.
Keyboard tab. Toggle keys. Use toggle keys. Checkbox. Not checked.
Use toggle keys. Okay. This is a personal preference. What this does is it makes the computer beep with a high pitch when you turn on one of the lock keys, like the caps lock key and that type of thing, and it beeps a lower pitch when you turn it off. That's a personal preference. Your screen reader usually will tell you that, so you might find that that's a little overkill. The next one is definitely one we want to check.
Settings button. All in. Show extra keyboard help in programs. Checkbox. Not checked.
Show extra keyboard help in programs. Yes. We want to check that.
Checked. Okay button.
There's one more thing we want to change in accessibility. We want to apply those settings across Windows entirely, even to the login option and to any other new users.
Allow button.
So to do that,
keyboard tab.
On the keyboard tab, we just want to right arrow.
Sound tab. Display tab. Mouse tab. General tab.
In the general, and let's tab.
Automatic reset. Turn off accessibility features after idle 4. Checkbox. Not checked.
Okay, let's check.
Give warning message when turning a feature on. Checkbox.
Give warning message. That's fine.
Make a sound when turning a feature on or off. Checkbox.
Okay.
Serial key devices. Use the settings button. All key. Administrative options. Apply all settings to local desktop. Checkbox. Not checked.
Apply all settings to local desktop.
Checked.
Check that. And then...
apply all settings to defaults for new users. Checkbox.
Apply all settings to device defaults for new users. Check that as well. Let's go ahead and hit OK.
OK button. Control panel. List.
All right.
Accessibility options.
So accessibility
comments.
Is done. Let's go ahead and arrow down.
Add hardware. Comments. Installs and troubleshoot hardware.
Add hardware. There's really nothing we need to change in there.
Add or remove programs. Comments. Administrative tools. Comments. Configure administrative settings for your computer. Automatic updates. Comments. Set up Windows
automatically. That's a personal preference. A lot of people like to have the updates automatically so they get them as soon as they come out. For me, this is just a personal thing. I have mindset not to do that because that way if something, an update does cause a problem or something, I'm in a much better position to troubleshoot it again. I'm the type, and this is just me, it doesn't mean everybody has to do it this way, but I don't want my computer doing anything automatically without me knowing about it. I want to be the one to initiate stuff, so when stuff's happening, I know exactly what's going on and when it's happening.
And
but that's
two
just
other
me.
Things, I don't think I've changed that actually, but two other things that happen. A, if you set it to download the updates and then notify you, sometimes your computer won't behave properly, certain functions will quit working until you apply those updates. Totally turn it off or just let it notify you that updates are available without downloading them. Which of those two do you use?
And I'd say if you decide to turn it off, just remember to check at least once a month. Let's go in there. Automatic updates. Okay.
Automatic updates. Automatic updates tab. Help protect your PC. Windows can regularly check for important updates and install them for you. Turning on automatic updates may automatically update Windows update software first before any other updates. Offer updates again that I previously hidden. How does automatic updates work? Link.
Okay, that's a link. How does automatic updates work? Let's just tab there.
Automatic recommended. Radio button. Not selected.
Automatic.
Recommend the updates for my computer and install them.
Automatically download. Okay. Let's see what our options are here.
Download updates for me, but let me choose when to install them. Radio button. Selected.
Now we don't like that.
Notify me button to automatically download or install them. Radio button. Selected. Turn off automatic updates. Radio button selected.
Yeah, and again, System Access is really good about reading you those tooltips, so we'll cancel out of here. I won't change anything.
Install updates from the Windows Update website. Link. OK button. Cancel button.
Just cancel this.
Date and time comments. Set the date, time, and time.
Date and time, that's pretty self-explanatory.
Display comments. Change the appearance of the
display. Display, yes. There's a lot of things we can change in here. And some of this stuff is relating to, so you'll fit more text on your screen. Some of it relates to faster performance, and some of it allows your screen reader to work a little better. So we got a lot of stuff in here we can change. Let's go ahead and hit enter and open it.
Display properties. Themes tab.
Okay, the themes. This is a visual thing. It offers absolutely no benefit to a blind user, and all it really does is take up memory. So what you want to set this to...
Modify theme.
What I would suggest you set this to is Windows Classic.
Windows XP, drop-down list,
Windows Classic, there we go.
Save as button, OK button.
And you can make your own theme, although, again, a blind person probably won't be doing that too much. So I'd say go with Windows Classic on that. It's the simplest, and it takes the least memory, and you'll get the best performance that way.
Theme tab.
So we're back on the tab. Let's go to the right.
Desktop tab.
Desktop, OK. Let's see what we've got in here.
Background, list, none.
Background, that's what some people may also call wallpaper. Set it to none if you're a blind user, especially because, again, all it does is take up memory showing an image on your screen. So set it to none and use that valuable memory for much better purposes.
Browse button. All
browse. You could browse for an image to use as your wallpaper.
Color button. Which, button. All the
family member or friend put some wallpaper up. That can kill accessibility, certain wallpapers can.
Yeah, let's go into customized desktop just
desktop
for a minute.
Icon. General tab. Desktop icons. My documents. Shape box. Not shaped.
Okay, this allows you to choose what to show on the desktop.
List. Change icon button. All it. Restore default button. Desktop cleanup. Run desktop cleanup wizard every 60 days. Shake box. Shaped.
Ooh, turn that off. I hate that thing.
Unshaped. Clean desktop no button. All C. Okay button. Web tab. To add a web page to list. Web pages. List. My current home page.
Okay, this allows you to put like a web page, I think, on your desktop.
Properties button. Synchronize button. All S. To prevent moving or resizing your web items on your desktop, select the following shake box. Lock desktop items. Shake box. Not shaped.
Okay, we'll skip that.
Okay button.
Alright.
Button.
So.
Web tab.
The only thing you might want to change in there is to turn off that
cancel button.
Running
okay
that
button.
Automatically running that cleanup wizard.
Display
so we hit OK there, and we're back to the display thing in the control panel.
OK button.
All right, let's go to the next tab.
Apply button. Desktop tab. Screensaver tab.
Screensaver, again, this is something you want to set to none because, well, for a couple of reasons. Number one, it just takes memory. Number two, most monitors today don't even have the burn-in effect anymore because they're flat screen. Number three, if you are concerned about that, you can have Windows just turn off the monitor, or better yet, just turn it off manually. Again, the screensaver, you want to set that
screensaver.
To none. Let's see what this is set to.
Drop-down list. Windows XP.
Oh, this is set to Windows XP. Let's get rid of that.
None.
Pressing the home key will take you to the top. You set it to none.
Monitor power. Power button.
Okay, that's for the power management. We'll deal with that in its own section in the control panel.
Okay, button.
All right. Let's keep going here.
Tab. Appearance tab.
Appearance. This is a big one.
Windows and buttons. Drop-down list.
Windows and buttons.
Windows classic style.
Windows classic style. That's what we want.
Color scheme.
Color scheme.
Windows standard.
Windows standard, I think, works, but again, let's go with Windows classic.
Windows classic. Font size. Drop-down list. Normal
font, that's usually what you want. If you have it small, I guess you might fit more stuff, but if you have it large, a lot of text, some text won't fit on the screen, so you definitely want to keep that at the normal setting.
Would someone with low vision maybe want large?
You could try that, certainly, yes. Okay, effects. There's some things in here we can take a look at. Let's hit space on that.
Use the following transition effect for menus and clips. Check box. Not checked.
Okay, good. That's not checked. Use the following transition effect. You want to uncheck these. Basically, it causes Windows to animate different things, which, again, for a blind person offers no benefit. It might cause your screener to read things in an odd way, and you'll get faster performance if you uncheck it. So there's nothing but advantages to it.
Drop-down list. Fade effect.
And it's got a drop-down list there. It's set to fade effect.
Use the following method to smooth edges of screen fonts. Shape box. Not checked.
Okay, and again, it's unchecked. That's good. Use the following method to smooth edges of screen fonts. You want to have that unchecked as well. That can affect how things read.
Use large icons. Shape box. Not checked.
Use large icons. I'd leave that unchecked because, again, an icon really offers no benefit if you can't see the screen.
Show shadows under menus. Shape box. Checked.
Ooh, get rid of this. Show shadows under menus. Again, it's an animation effect. Offers no benefit, and it just takes resources that are much better used for other things. So we're going to uncheck that.
Unchecked. Show window contents while dragging. Shape box. Not checked.
Show window contents while dragging. You want to leave that unchecked. A blind person is not actually going to be dragging a window. Go ahead and just leave that unchecked or uncheck it if it's checked.
Hide underlined letters for keyboard navigation until I press the Alt key. Shape box. Not checked.
Hide underlined letters for the keyboard commands until I press the Alt key. You definitely don't want to have that checked. That way, if it is, your screen reader a lot of times won't be able to tell what the keyboard shortcut is for something. So you want to leave that unchecked.
Okay, button. Display properties.
Okay, and we're back in the main display properties window.
Advanced button.
Okay, advanced. There's really nothing we have to change in there. I've actually had calls at work for some people where their screens were all messed up because they were changing stuff in there.
Okay, button.
That's for that one. We want to skip the advance. Let's go to the right again.
Settings tab. Right monitor icons to match the physical arrangement of your monitors.
Drag the monitor icons. This is if you got a dual monitor system, which we don't here.
Display drop down list. One default monitor on WISC got a second.
And it says there default monitor on VM where SVGA. Yeah, it's basically Fusion. He's actually running this on the Mac. This is how the Mac runs Windows, and as you can tell, it runs it really well.
Screen resolution.
Screen resolution.
1232x924 pixels.
1232x932.
Don't you love system access? Reads that. A lot of them just say 0 or 3 of 12.
Yes.
Or whatever. Isn't that great? It reads.
That's true. Most of them just tell you the slider position. I'll go ahead and move it left and right here so you can see that. Although we'll cancel that, we're not going to change it. Yeah, most of them say like 0 or 100%, 60%, but system access says
1152x864 pixels. 1232x924 pixels.
Let's tab again.
Color quality drop down list. Highest 32-bit.
Highest 32-bit is what you want. So if it's not set that way, that's what you want to set it to.
The higher the resolution, the smaller the print. So if you are a low vision person, you might want a lower resolution, 1024 by 768 or even 800 by 600.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to go down to 640 by 480. Avoid it. That's the standard VGA setting, and a lot of programs won't even run that way, or the text won't fit on the screen. Then there's another setting here for the second monitor, which he doesn't even have, so we'll skip
more
that.
Troubleshoot button. Alt T. Advanced button. Alt T.
Okay. There is one setting in here worth checking in advanced on this particular tab.
Default monitor and WISC got a second properties. General tab. If your screen resolution makes screen icons too small to view comfortably, you can increase the DPI to compensate. To change font sizes only.
Okay.
DPI setting. Drop down list. Normal size 96 DPI.
Normal size 96. That's usually where it should be. Close
okay
out
button
here.
Display properties.
Okay. And now we'll tab to OK.
Display. Apply button. Cancel button. OK button. Control panel.
The only time you would ever use apply is when you want your settings to take effect, but you don't want to close out of the dialog that you're in. If you're done in that window and you want to save your settings, a lot of people think you have to do apply first and then hit OK. That's actually not true. Just going to OK will save your settings and close the dialog.
Folder options, comments, custom
folder options. This
folder
is a good one.
File associations and to make network files
a lot of stuff in here we can change. Let's take a look at our first choice here.
Use Windows Classic Folders.
Use Windows Classic Folders. Right. That's what you want. By default, it has show common tasks in folders. You definitely want to change this to Windows Classic folders. It makes stuff so much easier to navigate.
Browse folders. Open each folder in the same window.
Radio open button. Each folder in the Select same it window. That's what you want, because if you say open each one in a different window, you'll have a bunch of windows open, and then you'll have a bunch of windows to close if you have opened a bunch of folders. Best to set it to open each folder in the same window. That way, when you want to go back, you just press the backspace key or alt left arrow or something something to that effect, and it's all in one window.
Click items as follows. Double click to open an item, single click to select.
Double click to open an item, single click to select. That's what you want. That way it allows you to press to the spacebar to like highlight an item, or, well, it'll also select a button. Like on the desktop, the spacebar will select an icon. Pressing enter will actually open it.
Restore defaults button.
Okay, restore defaults. We can skip.
Cancel button.
Okay.
Single tab.
The view tab.
View tab.
Is
you can
next.
View such as folder views. Resale folders button.
And event there setting is some things three in here worth
restore
looking at.
Alt, OK button. Restore defaults button. Advanced settings. Three.
Okay, advanced settings. Let's just go ahead and narrow through these.
Automatically search for network folders and printers.
Automatically search for network folders and printers. I would uncheck this, because what this does is it causes Windows every couple of seconds to search for network folders and printers. It will do that when you open the network if it needs to, but turning this off prevents it from doing it automatically.
Automatically search for network folders and printers. Checkbox. Not checked.
Okay, there we go. All right, let's go ahead and narrow down here.
Display file size information and folder tips on. Checkbox. Checked.
Display file size information, that's a personal preference. That's when you go to like the folder or the hard drive, it'll tell you how much is.
Yeah, I myself like that. I'm a numbers person, so dates and times and file sizes and that stuff I like to have.
We'll leave it checked in this case, and since you use that.
Display simple folder view in Explorer's folder list.
Okay, this one doesn't really apply because of another tweak that I'm going to show you when we get to the My Computer window. Let's keep going here.
Display the contents of system folders.
Display the contents of system folders. I go ahead and check this. I don't want my system deciding what I should see, so I'm going to go ahead and check it. And that way it'll show that stuff, and that way you see everything.
Display the full path in the address bar on.
Display the full path in the address bar. I actually recommend disabling the address bar again, because it's one less thing to tab through, and especially in Explorer and that type of thing.
Display the full path in the title bar off.
Display the full path in the title bar. Again, that's a personal preference.
15-20.
The title, of course, is what you get when you press, in System Access's case, modifier T.
Folder options.
That's the title of the window. So
do not cache thumbnails off.
Do not cache thumbnails. Go ahead and check that. Again, that's a visual thing. There's really no benefit for a blind user to have thumbnails, so we can go ahead and check
display
that.
Display the full path in the text. Do not cache thumbnails on. Checkbox. Checked.
Okay.
Hidden files and folders.
Hidden files and folders. This is a big one.
Do not show hidden files and folders on. Radio button.
Do not show hidden file. We want to check this to show hidden files. Again, this relates to any folder or file that's marked as hidden. By default, Windows won't show it to you. It's better to enable that. You know, you don't want your computer deciding what you should see and what you shouldn't.
Show hidden files in folders or hide extensions for known file types or
hide extensions for known file types. He's already got it unchecked, and that's good. With that checked, you can't tell what anything is. To my dying day, I will never understand why anybody would ever want to do that. But you definitely want that unchecked, if it is checked, because that way you'll be able to see the file extensions, which a lot of times is how you tell what kind of file it is. Let's keep going here.
Hide protected operating system files recommended. Uncheck likes. Checked.
Hide protected operating system files. We'll go ahead and uncheck that. A lot of times it won't show you stuff like in the System32 folder. And when you uncheck this, Windows is actually going to squawk at you a bit and ask if you're sure.
Warning. You have chosen to display protected operating system files. Files label system.
I'm just going to hit Y for yes, so I'm sure.
Launch folder windows in a separate process.
Okay, launch folder windows in a separate process. You want to go ahead and check that. It takes a little more memory, but it makes things more stable. What it does is each time when you open a new folder, it puts it in a separate process. That way, if one thing crashes, nothing else is affected. So you go ahead and check that.
Remember each folder's view settings.
Okay, remember each folder's view settings. You want to go ahead and uncheck this because if you want everything to be set as a list or detail, if you have it remember each folder setting, if you change that for some reason on one of them, it'll stay that way. So this way, if we uncheck this, whatever you set it to, and then you will set it to apply to all folders, it'll always be in that way, your list or detail, and you won't have all your folders showing up in different views. So I'm going to go ahead and uncheck this.
Restore previous folder windows at login. Check likes.
Restore previous folders that were open. That's a personal preference. If you had anything open when you logged off, it'll bring it back when you log back in. That's a personal preference.
Show control panel in my computer. Check likes.
Show control panel in my computer. That's a personal preference.
Show encrypted or compressed NTFS files in color. Check likes.
Show encrypted or NTFS in color. That's more visual. It's a personal preference.
Show pop-up description for folder and desktop items on. Check likes. Check.
Show pop-up descriptions. That's a personal preference. I don't use it, but it's a personal preference. That's like if you go to my computer, it displays the folders in your computer or my documents, you know, it's like the tooltips that are displayed when you arrow to each item.
Use simple file sharing recommended.
Okay, use simple file sharing. To explain this one, let me go ahead and explain a little bit of a difference between Windows XP Home and Windows XP Pro. With Home, what happens is all you can do when you share folders is say, share it and allow network users to change my files, which basically gives them read and write permission. If you don't check that, it's just read permission. That's how Windows XP Home does it, and if you keep simple file sharing enabled, then it will emulate Windows XP Home. If you uncheck this, then it will change so you can set individual permission for each user what they can and can't do. That'll only be available if you have Windows XP Pro, which we both actually do.
Okay button. Control panel.
All right, after folder options, we have internet options.
Fonts, comments, ads, game controllers, comment, internet options. General tab. To create homepage tabs, tap each address on its own line.
Okay, that's where you can set the homepage. A lot of this is personal preference, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time.
Delete browsing history on exit. Check likes. Not checked.
Delete browsing history on exit. I have that checked personally. One big thing in here that I really want to show you. It's over in the advanced, which is on the far right.
Advanced.
There's actually a couple things in here we can change.
Three. Always expand all text for images.
Always expand all text for images. We don't have to do that.
77.
Because system access will still read that. Let's go down.
Enable carriage browsing for new windows and tabs.
That we don't need to use either. Okay, you got IE8 on this.
Move system carriage with focus selection changes.
I would go ahead and check that. Move system carriage with focus selection changes. The other one that we want to change is down in the multimedia section. It turns off so it doesn't load all the images, which will speed up your loading time of web pages quite a bit. So I'm just going to kind of arrow down through these so we can get to that.
Use passive FTP for firewall and DSL modem compatibility on.
Okay, you want to turn this off too.
Use passive FTP for firewall and DSL.
Use passive FTP for DSL modem compatibility. Yeah, that can also cause problems, so we'll go ahead and uncheck that.
Show pictures on.
Show pictures. We want to go ahead and uncheck that. I'm going to go ahead and tab to OK here.
OK button. Control panel. Keyboard, comments. Custom mouse. Comments. Customize your mouse setting. Network connections. Comments. Connect to the
network. Let's keep going.
Comments. Launch the net.
Down.
Options. Comments. Power options. Comments.
Okay. Power options. I would recommend you disable all your power management. It can cause computers not to come out of standby properly, and a lot of times it can affect screen readers also, where they don't function right. The computer comes out of hibernation. Plus, the amount of power that actually saves is minimal. It's like if you're not going to use your computer for a while, I'd say just go ahead and shut it down. Just set these power options to
power options properties.
Never.
Settings for home office guest power scheme. Turn off monitor. Drop the list. After 20 minutes.
Let's go ahead and set that to never there.
Never. Turn off hard disks. Drop the list.
Turn off hard disks. Never.
Turn off hard disks. Drop the list. Never.
And
system standby. Drop the list. Never.
Never. That's good.
Okay, button, okay,
so
button.
Let's go ahead and hit OK here.
Control panel. Printers and faxes. Comments to install.
Printers and faxes. There's really not a whole lot we need to change in there. Some of that depends on the printer itself.
QuickTime comments. Configure QuickTime software.
QuickTime
language options. Comments.
Skip that. Okay. Regional language options. There's a couple things in here we want to do. In regional options, you want to make sure that it's set for your region. English United States. What's the should be set to?
References or click customize to your own formats. Drop the list. English United States.
English United States, which it is. That's good.
Customize button.
Let's go into customize. There's a couple of things in here that we want to change, particularly with the date
option.
Tab.
Number tab. Currency tab. Time tab. Date tab.
What we want to do is go ahead, set that to MMDDYYYY, at least for this part of the world now. You guys in Europe, actually, you put the days first. But for this one, it's best to have the two-month, two-day, and then the four-year.
Okay,
let's tab one more time.
Date format. MDI. MMDDI. MMDDI.
That's it. MMDYYY is what it is. Okay. Hit OK. Okay. Now, the other thing we want to do in here is get rid of the language bar. And what that is, particularly with Microsoft Office, that can interfere with some things. So let's go to the tabs here. I'm still in the regional options control panel. Let's
language tab.
Languages. Let's
you can use to enter
go in
text
there.
Services and input languages. Details button.
Text services and input languages. We want to go ahead and go to details here and hit space on that.
Text services and input languages. Same tab. Default input language. Select one of the installed input languages to use when you start your computer. Drop-down list. English United States list.
English United States. That's good. It's set correctly.
Install services. Select the services.
Install
that you
services.
Want
let's see what we've got in here. U.S. Okay.
Keyboard.
Okay. All he's got is the keyboard. That's fine.
Add button. Preferences. Language bar. Button.
Okay, language bar. This is what we want to get rid of if you have this. Let's go ahead and hit space on this.
Language bar settings. Show the language bar on the desktop. Check box. Checked.
Let's get rid of that. Show the language bar. Uncheck that.
Unchecked. Okay button.
And
same tab.
Let's go to the right. I think
advanced
there's
tab.
One
so
more thing under advanced.
Of advanced text services and compatibility configuration. Extend support of advanced text services to all programs. Check box. Not checked.
Okay, extend support of advanced language. We don't want to have that checked. And then the next
system
one.
Configuration. Turn off advanced text services. Check box. Not checked.
Turn off advanced text services. We actually want to go ahead and check that because some programs can cause problems with that. Go ahead and check that option here.
Checked.
And then we should be able to.
OK button. Regional and language options.
Hit OK one more time.
Control panel.
All right, let's arrow down. We're actually almost done. We've got a couple more things here.
Scanners and cameras. Comments. Add. Schedule tests. Comments. Schedule computer tests.
Scanners and cameras. Schedule
center. Comments. View your
security
computer. Sound and audio devices. Comments. Change the sound scheme for your computer or configure.
Change the sounds. Actually, that's pretty much probably already set the way it needs to be. Some of that may depend on your sound card. Each one's different.
Speech comments. Change settings for text
speech.
Speech.
There's where you can set the default sappy voice if you want to do that.
System.
System. Okay, this is a big one. There's a few things in here that we can actually change to speed things up. So let's go ahead and go in here.
System properties.
What we want to do?
Computer name tab.
Computer name, that's where you can set the computer name and that type of thing. Again, that's all personal preference. Let's stop in the hardware tab because there's something in the device manager that I want to show you. You want to disable the power management on your USB hubs because that can cause problems and a lot of quirky things when connecting USB devices.
Device manager button.
And let's go into device manager. Press space on that.
Device manager. Pre.
And this usually doesn't come up maximize,
system.
So I'm going to go ahead and maximize this. Where we want to go is down to USB, so I'm just going to hit the end key, because I think that it's the last choice.
Universal Serial Bus Controllers.
Hit the right arrow key.
Generic USB hub.
Good.
Intel RA2300.
I'm just arrowing down now.
Standard Advanced PCIe USB host controller. USB composite device. USB root hub. This device
USB root hub. I got a feeling this is going to have it, so we'll
hold
enter there to bring up the General properties.
Tab. USB root hub.
Okay.
Detail tab. Power management tab.
Power management. There we go, on the far right. And then we want to tab.
Allow the computer to turn off this device to save power. Check box. Check.
Allow the computer to turn off this device to save power. No, we don't want to do that. Let's uncheck that.
Uncheck. OK button.
And hit OK.
Device manager. Pre.
OK, let's arrow down
USB
again.
USB root hub.
This device and we got another USB root hub.
USB
let's
root
go
hub
ahead
properties.
And,
General tab.
Let's go ahead and right arrow to power management there.
Power tab. USB root hub. Power management tab. Allow the computer to turn off this device to save power. Check box. Check.
And we'll do a uncheck that.
Unchecked. Power
and
management tab.
Tab to OK.
Cancel button. OK button. Device manager.
And that's all for the USB root hubs, I
USB
think.
Root hub.
So let's go ahead and Alt-F4 out of the device manager, and that'll take us back to the system properties again.
System properties. Hardware tab. Advanced tab.
Advanced. OK, this is a big one. There's several things in here that we want to change. So let's go ahead and tab.
Performance. Settings button.
Okay, performance. We want to go to settings in here for sure. This is a big one.
Performance options. Visual effects tab. Select the settings you want to use for the appearance and performance of Windows, okay. Just for best performance.
Radio just button. For best performance. Okay, Mike already took care of that one. That's what you want it set to. The default option is let Windows choose what's best for my computer. What you want to do is set that to adjust for best performance. Now let's go ahead and tap here. There's a tree of options, but if you set it to adjust for best performance, they'll all be unchecked, which is what you want.
Okay, button.
Set
advanced tab.
By default, in the advanced tab here.
Processor scheduling.
Okay, processor scheduling.
Programs.
Is set for programs, and that's what we want.
Memory usage. Programs. Radio button. Selected.
And memory usage is set for
102.
To give priority to programs, which again is what we want. Let's go ahead and
virtual memory. Change button.
All virtual changes. Memory. Let's do change here because by default it's set to a custom size, and we want to set this actually so the system manages it.
Virtual memory. Minimum allowed 2 MB. Paging file size selected. Custom size. Radio button.
Custom size. We want to set that to system managed.
No paging file. Custom size. System managed size.
Arrow down. There we go.
System managed size. Radio
system
button.
Managed size.
Set button. All
and hit space on set. And hit OK. And it's going to ask us to reboot, but we're not going to reboot right now. There's no reason to.
Paging file size for selected drive. Set button. OK button.
It will ask you that, though.
System control panel applet. The changes you have made require you to reset your computer before they can take effect. OK button.
OK. We'll just hit OK there. We don't need to restart right now.
OK button.
That's all we need to really change in there. So let's hit OK.
System properties. Advanced tab. User profiles.
User profiles. We really don't need to change that.
Recovery. Settings button.
Startup and recovery, there are some things we can look at. It's personal preference, but I'll hit space on settings on that so you can see what's here.
Startup and recovery. To edit the startup options file manually. System startup. Default operating system. Drop-down list. Microsoft Windows XP Professional Linux Security Optimize Detect. To edit the startup options file manually. Click cancel button. System startup.
Let's go ahead and uncheck.
List of operating systems. Shake box. Check.
Display list of operating systems. Let's uncheck that because there's only one on this virtual machine, and there's probably only one on your computer, too, in that case, unless you've got, you're using the Windows Boot Manager.
Unchecked.
So we can probably uncheck that.
Time
okay.
Display recovery options when needed. Check box. Check.
Time display recovery options. It defaults to
time
30.
Time display recovery options when needed. Editable text. 3.
You got that set to
3.
Okay, Mike already changed that to 3 seconds, and that's fine.
Edit button. All E. System failure. Write an event to the system log. Check box. Checked.
Yeah, you probably want to keep that checked.
Automatically restart. Check box. Not checked.
Automatically restart. Yeah, if that's checked, it'll restart. If it's not, if you don't check that and you get a critical error, then you see the blue screen of death.
Write the breaking information. Drop
okay.
The list. Small memory dump 64 KB. Small dump directory.
Let's just go ahead
and edit the startup options file manually. Click OK button.
Hit OK here.
System control panel applet. If the page file on volume C has an initial size of less than 0 megabytes, then the system may not be able to create a breaking information file if a stop error occurs. Continue anyway. Yes button.
Yeah, it's fine. The paging file
yes
isn't in 0 bytes.
System
so
properties. Advanced tab. Error reporting button.
Okay. Error reporting, that's a personal
error
preference.
Error reporting button.
That allows you to determine whether errors are reported.
Turn off system restore. Check box. Check.
Okay, Mike already did it. Check the option that says to turn off system restore. It will also then delete all the restore points, which will free up some space on your hard drive.
Okay, but.
And one more. If you're not going to use the built-in Windows Remote Desktop feature, then it's probably better to go ahead and disable that.
Select the way that your computer can be used from another location. Remote assistance. Allow remote assistance invitations to present from this computer.
Allow remote assistance invitations. Let's go ahead and uncheck that. This does not affect the system access remote stuff at all.
Unchecked.
Go ahead and uncheck that.
Way remote assistance. Link. Remote desktop. Allow users to connect remotely to this computer. Check box. Not checked.
Okay, that's not checked. That's good.
OK button.
So we just hit OK there.
System settings change. You must reset your computer before the new settings will take effect.
Let's restart. But we're not going to do that right now.
Control panel.
Take effect next time we that the virtual machine, in this case, because it's running on a Mac, is restarted. Okay, one more thing that I suggest you do. User accounts. What I would advise you to do here is disable the fast user switching feature because it's one less service that runs, and especially if you're the only user that uses the computer, it can cause issues with screen readers, too, sometimes. By using that, so it's better to go ahead and disable that. If we go to user accounts,
user accounts,
change the way users log on.
Change the way users log on. Link.
Hit enter on that.
User welcome screen. Check box. Checked.
Keep that checked.
Use fast user switching.
Use
check
fast
box.
User switching. We want to go ahead and uncheck that.
Unchecked. Apply options.
Now we can go ahead and Alt F4 out of here. Done in the control panel. One more little thing I want to show you for tweaking, and that's in the my computer window. So let's Alt F4 out of the control panel.
Taskbar. Desktop.
And let's go to the My Computer window. We can do a couple of tweaks here. Let's go to the View menu.
View. Menu opened.
Okay. Let's see if the toolbars are still...
Checked.
Okay, these toolbars are still enabled here, so let's go ahead and get rid of this.
Menu closed. Menu opened.
Address bar. Again, you can access all of this with keyboard commands.
Menu closed. View. Menu opened. Log the children.
You'll see the real fruits of our labor on this window once we're done with it.
Status bar.
Okay, status bar.
Explorer by submenu.
All right, Explorer bar. Let's see if the...
Tip of the day. Folders. Checked.
See, folders is checked. Oh. We definitely want to uncheck this because what happens is you have two columns, and then when you tab to a folder, when you arrow to a folder, it just opens it, and then you get that message, you know, insert the floppy disk. We want to go ahead and disable that, so that way it only opens something when you press enter. So I'm just going to press enter to disable this.
Menu closed.
Let's hit Alt V again. Actually, we can just left arrow back to the view menu. And let's see what this is set to view by.
Detailed. Checked.
Okay, it's set for detail. That's good. What we want to do now is to make sure this applies to all folders. Go ahead and go to Alt T for tools.
Tools.
Arrow up one time to folder options.
General tab.
And go in there.
General tab.
Now, right arrow to view.
View tab.
And we want to select the first option here.
Folder views. Apply to all folders button.
Apply to all folders. We'll select that.
Folder views. Set all the folders on your computer to match the current folder view settings except for tools.
Set all the folders views on your computer to match the current one, and we'll say yes.
Folder options.
Now,
view tab.
Let's go ahead and
cancel button. Okay button.
Say okay.
CC. List. Documents and settings. Type.
Okay, now let's look at what we've got here. The detail view, and we just have one single column of everything. Even if we tab around to something, if we press tab or shift tab, you don't get stuck with address bars or all this files stored on this computer, none of that stuff. We just got one nice list. You got documents and settings. If we arrow down.
No tab. Type file folder. Date modified. 0212.pdf to txt. Type file folder. Date modified. 0.1 program files.
All in alphabetical order. And you don't get lost in all the clutter of all the other stuff that it puts on the screen. Not to mention, it's a lot faster. I'll go ahead and Alt F4 out of here. That's all the tweaks as far as, you know, the display and all that stuff. There are some other things you can do, which we'll get to in part two. And we'll call that one Startup Items and Services. And what we'll talk about there is how you can control what items start when Windows starts. And I'll give you some tips of what things you can disable. There are some things you can disable and get better performance. And there are some things actually that you want to disable for security purposes that will leave holes in your system if you don't disable them. Certainly doing the tweaks that we mentioned here will make your system read things better. And it should speed things up quite a bit also. If you want to contact me, or if you have any questions, you can usually find me in the Saratech chat rooms, or you can email my ham call, N0OXY, at charter, charter.net. Hope everybody finds these useful, and squeeze some performance out of those old computers that you might have sitting around. This should certainly help speed things up.
Wow, I don't know about you, but I sure learned a thing or two about optimizing my computer settings. Keep in mind, again, these are personal preferences and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Serotalk and Serotech staff and management. So, again, as with anything, please think twice about changes that you make. And remember, if you need any follow-up on the suggestions provided here, contact Mike Arrigo directly via email at n0oxy or n0oxy at charter.net. And if you now want to further pursue the power and awesome features of our remote access solutions, please give us a call toll-free at 866-202-0520. Stay tuned. We have some very exciting things coming up for you in the month of May. So until we meet again next week, please stay connected.